ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Sarah, I think it's time we talk about romance.
Absolutely, because that is one of the reasons we love Austen's books so much.
Mm-hmm.
We know that by the end of the book, her hero and heroine, well, they'll be mutually joined in affection, but also in bank balance.
It's funny that, isn't it? The right man always happens to be a pretty well-off man in the Austen novels.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. The love stories in Austen's novels, they're wonderful. Well, mostly wonderful. Like, you know, I have a bee in my bonnet about a few of them, but they are one of the main reasons that readers keep coming back.
And it's something that the Australian comedian Alice Fraser, she loves it too. And she's even written a book about romance called A Passion for Passion. And Alice is joining us from the romance capital of the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. Alice, when were you introduced to Jane Austen?
Jane Austen came into my life probably very early. My mum used to watch the BBC Jane Austens, and so I started reading them at about the time that mum started watching them, because she was a big believer that you ought to read the book first. So I would read the book, and then we would be allowed to watch whatever it was, the BBC Pride and Prejudice or the Persuasion with Kieran Hines as Captain Wentworth, and those made kind of a profound impact on me.
Okay, so we talk about Jane Austen as a romance writer, but I'm keen to know what romance meant to Jane Austen.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good question, because while we might have tension and giddiness that you associate with love stories in her work, they're all grounded in this idea that marriage is the ultimate outcome, whereas, I don't know, these days, is marriage the end goal?
Yeah, well, that's questionable. I mean, these matches in Austen's novels, they're sensible matches. Everyone will be better off for these matches. But of course, there is love there too.
Yeah, she's not completely breaking expectations.
Yeah.
But Claire, how do you feel about the book Persuasion?
I like Persuasion. This is, of course, about Anne Elliot and Captain Wentworth. It's a bit more sombre, more autumnal than Emma and Pride and Prejudice. I think it feels like Austen for grown-ups.
Yes, autumnal. That's a beautiful use of the word. I think it really shows the range of Jane Austen's writing, don't you? You know, it's not just comedy and misunderstanding.
Yeah, and I think this is a really great book to focus on as we talk about romance in Austen today, Sarah, because the love story between Anne Elliot and Captain Wentworth, it really is unique.
It is, Claire. It is unique. And I think Alice Fraser would agree. Alice, what makes it so different from Austen's other books?
It's what they would call now, in romance parlance, a second chance romance, which are immensely popular in the current market, but were not really a thing at the time that Jane Austen was writing and sort of bringing the genre out into the world for the first time.
So give us the background, Alice, the background to Persuasion, and why is this a second chance romance?
Anne has decided 8 years prior to the action, she's decided to break off her engagement with Captain Wentworth. When they were in love with one another and he didn't have many prospects, he was not as wealthy as he could have been, he wasn't as noble a family as her family and friends might have thought she was entitled to. You know, one of the reasons that this kind of period is so fruitful for romance novels is because you have simultaneously an idea of a love match emerging, but you also have the idea that particularly for people of nobility, marriage is about duty and is about kind of getting your family the best deal that they can get, and that you are, to a certain extent, an asset, and that your actions then reciprocally reflect on your family's social and financial opportunities. So the military in Persuasion and in many of these kind of books serves as a sort of a third branch where you have social mobility in a way that you would never otherwise have, that people are of one class or another and one ought to marry inside one class, ideally marry slightly up towards the top of your class or into the class above if you're a woman, but definitely don't marry down. And so Captain Wentworth goes off and earns rank and money and becomes a prospect in a way that her family, you know, there's this feeling that they ought to have given him the benefit of the doubt because he's such a good man, but that they couldn't see past his social class to his virtues, and that they pressured Anne into refusing him, and that her duty to her family overrode her own feelings.
Ah, yes, the original second chance romance,
which suits Anne Elliot's character because she is 27 and in those times that was ancient. And we meet her at this age and she really doesn't rush into things. She's the anchor for so many and she's surrounded by all these wishy-washy characters like her silly father and sister. Alice, why do you like this character so much?
She's Jane Austen's most introspective heroine, I think. She's intelligent, she's empathetic, and she swallows a lot of crap. She looks after the people around her and she is concerned with the well-being of the people around her. She's not a traditionally kind of heroic. She's not, you know, sassy and witty like other characters. She's not going to clap back like Elizabeth Bennet, but she has this dignity and integrity that marks her. And I think more than many other books, we fall in love with her as Captain Wentworth falls back in love with her. And that the sense of her as a grown woman, not as a, you know, debutante, not as a teenager, that perhaps this version of her is more attractive than the young version of her. So she has this quiet dignity, but she also has a sense of humour. She's a keen observer of human nature. You see her mediating conflicts. She's gracious. She's delicate of the sensitive feelings of the idiots around her. But the journey in the book is from her point of view. She reclaims her agency. She goes from passive resignation to asserting her own desires, to going after the thing that she wants.
On The Book Show, we're celebrating 250 years of Jane Austen with me, Claire Nichols.
And me, Sarah Lestrange, with comedian Alice Fraser, who's getting serious today and is taking us through what makes Persuasion so special as a romance. This book that was published after Jane Austen died in 1817, along with Northanger Abbey.
So the thing is, Anne Elliot wants this match with Captain Wentworth. It didn't work out the first time, but now circumstances have changed and we've learned that in this book, love isn't enough to make a lasting match. You have to have security and money too. Mm. And this is interesting, Sarah, because the character of Mrs. Smith, who's a widow and Anne's school friend, she shows us what can happen when wealth is frittered away.
Yeah, she's really the cautionary tale, isn't she?
Mm-mm.
So, Alice, what do you think? Did Anne make the right decision in rejecting Wentworth when she was younger?
It's a really interesting question because she isn't presented as having made the wrong decision. She made the right decision for the time, even though from our modern lens, you know, it's a ridiculous thing to say she should have listened to her family over her own heart. But at the time, you have to think about a society in which people relied much more on their families, in which you didn't have a society that would have a social safety net for an unmarried spinster. And we encounter that in Persuasion when she goes back and meets Mrs. Smith. She goes back and meets Mrs. Smith, who is in just a terrible way, doesn't have money to look after herself, is ill and ailing and hasn't got that support network of a family and wealth. And so certainly with Lady Russell, there is more respectful and in-depth discussions about love and duty. She's her godmother. She was a very good friend of Anne's mother and sort of stepped into a position of in loco parentis to some extent after her mother died and was probably one of the only sensible people in Anne's life when confronted with her very silly father and her very silly sister. we get the feeling that Lady Russell had sort of an outsized influence on the decision that Anne made, using to some extent the leverage of her mother would have wanted better for her than to marry a penniless officer. And Anne allows herself to be persuaded. But you can see by the contrast of Lady Russell's depiction, you know, if her father and sister had argued against her marrying Captain Wentworth, it might not have been enough. But Lady Russell is in this position of being sensible, sane, loving, but invested in social structures and social norms more than you can be when you're very young. And so Anne has gone, well, I have to be persuaded by the wise, older, loving lady. So, yeah, I think that's a really interesting feature of this, that you get to see the arguments laid out and the fears that Lady Russell has for Anne that are pretty persuasive, actually.
So Anne and Wentworth start spending time together again, and of course they misunderstand their intentions and their expectations.
But I wish I could write a letter like Wentworth when he explains his position on love to Anne. Alice, it's just so beautiful.
The letter, "You pierce my soul, I'm half agony, half hope," is really lovely. Her argument basically is that women love longest when all hope is lost, that men can love very truly, but when the hope is over, they will move on. But that there's something about women that means you'll stick with a hopeless case. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not sure. In this context, of course, it's a good thing because Wentworth does still love her even after all hope is lost. Or maybe he just maintains hope longer than she does. The modern epistolary romance would be carried out in WhatsApps and tweets and probably involve some rude pictures. But wooing people with beautiful language, I think, is part of what's going on in Persuasion particularly. There is a sort of an emphasis on these conversations and arguments where you see one point of view laid up against the other point of view and they both have something to them. He starts off obviously resenting Anne for breaking his heart, and it's only in seeing her in relation to others and the ways in which she looks after the people around her that he evolves to recognize that these are qualities that he loves in her. And it is a question, I think, for the reader as to whether the conversation that she has in front of Captain Wentworth about the nature of lost love, whether that's a decision that she's making to open her heart to him again and give him the opportunity to write that letter. I don't think that question is answered in the text, but I think it's an interesting one for the reader.
I would love someone to tell me that I pierce their soul, Sarah Lestrange. This is such a good letter.
Yes.
I also love the line, "I offer myself to you again with a heart even more your own than when you almost broke it."
Oh, it's so swoony, but it's so excellent, isn't it? The writing is just exquisite. And this is one of the reasons Jane Austen is beloved by not just readers but by writers too, because they can learn so much from her craft. Alice Fraser, as a comedian and a writer, what have you learnt from Jane Austen?
I think that so much of the comedy in Jane Austen comes from her lightness of touch, that she's not saying directly that these people are silly or ridiculous or even that these people are miserable or have made the wrong decisions. She's letting the reader deduce that by presenting the scenario and presenting these people often in dialogue with one another. Her way with dialogue is sort of extraordinary because you see in the way that people speak so much their character. You know, the characters, for example, that speak in complete sentences versus the ones who speak in broken thoughts and half sentences and sort of haphazard thinking. It shows you the character so well. So I think in terms of my own comedy, trying not necessarily to be like, this is what's funny about this, but to just lay it out for people to come themselves to the comedy, to come to the joke themselves, I think is the thing that I enjoy the most.
She is still teaching us all so much. Thank you, Alice Fraser.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sarah Lestrange.
It's always so great to talk about Jane with you, Claire. And next time, it's all about Jane Austen as a global phenomenon with Laleen Sequeira, who grew up reading Austen in Pakistan.
And Sarah, in the words of Jane Austen, next time, I must speak to you by such means as are within my reach. I think that means we'll use a radio studio.
Good plan. Happy birthday, dear Jane.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.